Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
It's Carmen and Yurko.
Sports talk while you're on the clock.
Do I exaggerate?
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Jeff Meller filling in for Carmen DeFalco today on the Carmen and Yurko show. As we wrap up here, we bring in Chris Black and Adam Abdalla, who'll be filling in for Waddle and Sylvie today. Gentlemen, I would like to mention before we get started here that Crosstalk is brought to you by IDOT's Life or Death Illinois. Illinois driving, biking, or walking responsibly near roadways really is a matter of life or death. To learn more or share the story of a lost loved one, go to lifeordeathillinois.com. All right, boys, so I have to imagine that taking precedence is the fact that the Cubs and Cardinals game has been canceled today.
Yeah, good times, right? And you guys are just talking about a broken shaft, right?
We were.
Okay. Golf club. Yes. Golf club with the head coming off?
Yeah.
What were we talking about, the club? All right.
Have you guys ever seen that on a course where someone does?
I've had a five iron come off in as I made impact on the ball. Ball went squirting off to the right. The five iron club head went over to the left. Yes.
Have you ever seen that, Jeff?
Yesterday was the first time that I saw it while watching, you know, a tournament. And it was interesting to see as the broadcast tried to find an angle of what actually happened. That was the amusing part to me, is that we all kind of assumed as we were watching it live yesterday happen that Bryson was upset with his shot and had broken it himself. It was kind of just
snapped
the assumption.
It, yeah. Right.
It seemed like a man, the hulking brute strength of Bryson DeChambeau had taken hold, and he was displeased with his shot. But no, that indeed was not the case. It was just a matter of his overall thickness being too much for the shaft to handle.
Too thick. Too thick. That's never a problem I've ever had. But, Yurk, I'm sure that in your playing days, with the thighs, you were thick, right?
Well, not in the right place.
That's a compliment.
Not in the right place.
By the way, these days.
For that wedge gap.
Yeah. Certainly, I was very muscular, but I would never been accused of being thick by any stretch of the imagination.
Because you were in shape. You were moving men at that time.
Oh, yeah. I was moving pounds, moving weight, man. I was doing that, but never that ugly accusation.
Well, it was a compliment.
No,
these days.
Nowadays, Yurko, when you're considered, when you're considered thick, the T-H-I-C-C. It's a good thing.
Oh, I know.
You need to embrace your great legs. You got to go to a 5-inch inseam on the shorts.
I used to have great legs.
See, you got to do that now. You got to be a thick boy.
Yeah. Well. There's nothing wrong with that, then, I guess.
I've never been accused of that. Jeff, have you?
I have not, unfortunately.
I wish.
When I was growing up, I was what they, I don't think they call kids this anymore. They were called husky.
Yeah, I was a husky kid.
I don't think you're allowed
to
do that.
Is husky around anymore?
I don't think you're allowed to put those on pants anymore, on pants measurements.
As the size,
Is husky not politically correct?
I don't think so.
If it is. So when we'd go shopping for school in Calumet City, we'd go to a store named Alpert's, and she's figuring out the pants for the Catholic school. Blue pants, white golf shirt. Basically, in essence.
Sure, your uniform.
Yeah. So I'm standing in line, and she's like, I'm trying to button it, and it's not buttoning. And she goes, boy, she looks at my mom. She goes, I'm going to have to take him to the husky section. I'm like, what?
What year was this year? When you were first labeled husky?
1973, 74.
So how old was young Yurko?
6'7".
Oof, that's early on.
No, that was fine.
I
didn't mind. You put me in the husky section. The pants fit perfectly fine, so I was good. You know, All in the Family was still on. There were a lot more words flying across the television screen than just husky, guys.
Yeah, see, if they rename that now, the thick section, T-H-I-C-C.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong. You tell me that's great.
Yeah, people would be flocking to that section.
T-H-I-C-C.
Thick.
I think my son has that in his description. Thickest of the thick boys.
There you go.
Oh, really? See, there you go. It's a positive comment these days. So you guys excited for a Chicago team that might clinch something tonight? I think it's a pretty cool thing. We're trying to get sports going, and hopefully, and we know we'll follow all afternoon, the Cubs and the Cardinals, tonight's game postponed, and we'll see what takes place the rest of this weekend. But I'm fired up that the Blackhawks might be a playoff team after tonight. This is a big matchup tonight.
And that game will be on as you guys are still doing your show.
Yeah, yeah, 5:45.
That's the exciting
puck
part
drop.
Of that.
So we'll have a unofficial Blackhawk pregame show.
I love it. Starting at
5 o'clock. We'll talk to Mark Greco.
All the bells and whistles with all the music and the
keys
sound
to the game. All that stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
You guys should replay the Yurko keys to the game.
Did you hear our keys to the game? Oh.
Yes, we heard them. What were they?
Impromptu. Came out of nowhere.
Score more goals.
So no.
Here you go. You want some more keys?
No,
we gave us four solid ones.
All right, Crawford was the second one. Crawford can only give up 3 goals.
Okay.
Pucks on net was, I think, number.
Gotta get the pucks on net.
Gotta get pucks on net. I'm tired of that.
That was number 3. That was
pucks
key.
On net. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Take advantage of the last change.
Take
correct?
Advantage of the last change.
As the home
number
team,
4.
As the home team in Edmonton, the Hawks should take advantage of that last change.
That's right. And then the number 1-1. What was my number 1-1? I forget. It was so important. I forgot about it already.
Win. I like that. Win. Yes.
Win. It was exceptional, guys. That's what I'm all about.
See, two men that are much wiser than I am, that go by the name LMFAO, said it best for tonight.
Really?
Shots.
I'm a big fan of it, yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's what you need.
You need a lot of shots in that. You know, they've been pretty good with deflections, too.
Yeah, they have been.
And, well, why? Because you've got something to deflect. When you're passing the damn puck around, it doesn't help. If there's nothing to deflect, how do you deflect it? Drives me crazy.
It's a good point.
It is a great point.
You know, and I think this
right,
is...
Abdallah?
Yes. I don't know what's going on over there.
I think he's playing slap and tickle with
I think
him.
I'm not.
I think he is.
Shots.
No, but stay 6 feet away from me.
Yeah,
I'm
over here.
In a socially distanced era, slap and tickle is not allowed.
I'm excited for this just because we've kind of gone through so much over the last couple of months, and not only to get the sports up and running, but like this is one of those things where we can all come together, watch an event, and kind of like think back to what it used to be where times were normal, right? And this isn't like some grand statement, but I think it'll be fun. Hopefully, if the Hawks can pull it off and they can win, you advance, we're all going to watch. It's going to be exciting. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it'd be much nicer to take advantage and win tonight rather than to have to play tomorrow.
Yeah, bounce back.
And the old TBD, time to be determined if they happen to lose tonight. I'd much rather take care of business with no real angst worrying about having to be, you know, potentially being bounced in a game 5.
And are you guys cool with them making the playoffs opposed to trying to get
I'm
a draft pick?
I'm fine.
Yeah.
The only cup worth winning is the one that you're playing for.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not preparing myself for a cup 5 years down the line that may never even materialize.
If you were guaranteed
for the Blackhawks.
A slot, like in the NFL, if you were guaranteed position, I might have a different feeling about this. Like with the Bears, when they've only won 3 games, and that last game doesn't mean anything, and it's like you better lose this game because if not, you go from the 3rd pick to the 5th pick or the 6th pick or something like that.
Yeah,
then it makes a difference to me. But in this instance. Win. We'll try to win. Why not?
I mean, yeah, we're not even talking about a 50-50 chance here. Your 12.5% is in no way enticing. You know what I mean? Like, it's simply a nice consolation prize if you happen to be bounced.
Consolation?
Yes.
Ooh, sounds like you had another letter in there. Wow, that shocked me a little bit, but we're fine.
What did you think he said?
My earphone.
I apologize. All right. Consolation prize.
It may have slipped off my ear a little bit. I apologize.
I will try and verbalize more clearly next time.
You're the best.
It would be a nice consolation prize if they could actually.
It's outstanding. What do you have planned for the weekend?
I am going up to Algonquin. Brendan has won the Yeti with the Coors Light in it, so we're heading to Algonquin, and we're going to have ourselves a little bit of fun up there while we're there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. A little Yeti party.
Me, Travis Wacker, and Danny Lynch, we're going to head up there, and we're going to award the Yeti cooler with Coors Light.
And it's filled with ice-cold Coors Light.
Ice-cold
Coors
Light. Blue
Mountains.
Ooh, baby. Man, I'm telling you.
For me,
that's what I called her one time, Old Blue Mountains. Yeah.
For me, the big story of the night last night was Eloy Jimenez.
She was from Avatar, by the way.
Yes, she was.
For me, the big story of the night last night was Eloy Jimenez looking like a DH playing left field.
So, Jeff, what do you do about that going forward? Because, you know, I think the knee-jerk reaction is, okay, he should probably be your DH.
But he can't.
But then you, right, like, what do you do with the players that you have on the roster and you're trying to get the most out of the bats in the lineup? It's a head scratcher.
I think they need to look, and I don't think it's helped by Ricky Renteria talking about, you know, in the post game, kind of like giving him a pass. I think they need to make it clear to him that I don't, you know, at one point he was kind of an athletic freak before he just grew into,
yeah,
this,
grew into a man,
just a beast, and, yeah, and in a good way. But the problem is that I think he at one point was very athletic. I remember in the Futures game when he was still a member of the Cubs, he made a really nice defensive play as a right fielder, and he just kept growing and got so big he had to be moved over to left field, where obviously there's less asked of you defensively. And unfortunately, I think he's still kind of stuck in the mindset of, oh, I think I can get to all the balls that I'm close to. I think somebody needs to be real with him and say, look, dude, I know you, at one point you were a great athlete. Mm-hmm. You've kind of grown, you've grown into a man, as Yurko said, yeah, and you don't have the dexterity that you once had. So more than anything, we need you to be aware of your space, and you need to, yeah,
your bigness.
You need to be mature enough to understand, because I'm not worried. Look, it's not a great look that he misplays the ball and Yelich, you know, it results in an inside the park home run. But more alarming to me is that he goes tumbling into the net 13 games after he crashed into the wall, you know, and almost gave himself a concussion.
Did he think he was going to, like, bounce back? Did he think that he was just going to fall in and then fall back out?
Slingshot back?
Like it was a trampoline setup?
I assume he thought he was Spider-Man.
Didn't we see that last year? Wasn't there a baseball player last year that like, kind of ran into the net, and the net did push them back into the field of play?
I think it was a Mets player. I'm pretty sure it was a Mets player. It might, and I think it was against the White Sox, if I'm not mistaken.
That's what Tyler thought, too, that it took place at Sox Park.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it did in right field, and yeah, I don't remember the player, but I'm pretty sure I thought it was a Mets player.
Maybe a smaller player would bounce back like that.
Sure.
Yeah. Not.
Well, I mean, but down the whole, I think the whole point, the embarrassing part, is the tumbling your feet over your head type of thing. He didn't, right, like, it wasn't like he leaned into it looking to, yeah, like his feet went fully over his head, which
yeah,
is completely ridiculous.
Jeff McNeil, thank
against
you,
against the
Tyler.
White Sox? Good,
yeah,
against
yeah,
the White Sox.
Not only that, but you've got to test the net as an outfielder. You've right, got to go and lurch, you know, throw yeah, your body in there to see exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Listen, they need to make him aware that, look, you're very valuable in the lineup. You need to stay in the lineup. Like, it's one thing if you're running the bases and you injure yourself. That sucks, but that's part of the game. What we don't need, though, is you running around the outfield completely unaware of, you know, your own actions creating a situation where you're injuring yourself. He hurt himself in the outfield last year. He hurt his ankle. And again, he's fallen over the wall now. I mean, there's threads on Twitter of Eloy Jimenez looking ridiculous in the outfield on multiple occasions now. So it's someone needs to get to him and be like, Eloy, we love you. We need you in the lineup. Stop running into walls and nets.
Well, it's almost time for him to sit down and just swing a big stick.
Well, but they have too many DHs.
That's why.
23? I mean, yeah, where's Abreu going to play? You're going to play him at first every day?
Who, Eloy?
No, Abreu.
Well, Abreu is locked in at first base for a couple more years.
Okay, and then you don't.
Edwin Encarnacion is a DH for a couple years.
And you have catchers who could all hit.
Great.
Yeah, multiple catchers.
Grandal is somebody who you like to keep him in the lineup because
trade
of his switch hitting ability.
Trade him back.
Trade him back. What are you talking about?
Trade him back.
I mean, they do need a starter. So I mean,
they need a third starter. They don't need a fifth starter. They need 3, 4, and 5.
I mean, haven't you guys heard, though, that the Cubs, everything was fixed with David Ross this season? So everything's right.
Yeah.
Everything's good, right, Yerk?
Everything's rosy.
As long as they can play games, everything's good.
So are they going to play tomorrow? Are they going to play Sunday?
It's up in the air. I don't know. I'm skeptical at best.
Jesse Rogers
is on it.
Is he?
He's driving. He's en route. We talked to him. He's driving to St. Louis. I asked him if he turned the car around.
He's driving into the storm?
He's currently in Springfield, but the road is being blocked by Pritzker.
Jesse's the one car that the hurricane is bearing down on the city. He's the one car entering the city as everyone's going the other way.
Yeah, I mean, Cap talked to Russell Dorsey earlier today. He was doing the same. So I don't know, you know, at what point they get the bat signal to turn the cars around.
I think he said on Twitter that he was turning around.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah.
That was the update.
Dorsey was turning around.
Oh, Russell
is? Yeah, that he was going to turn
Jesse, though,
around.
No. Jesse's got to chase the COVID story.
He's so down
well,
there.
It's also
an
I know. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. As we pointed out, he's the Robin to Passan's Batman.
Right.
So Robin has to head into the COVID fight.
Next book co-authored by both.
Passan sent him in first. Jesse, you go first to make sure it's okay. I'll be there.
That's what Batman does. He has Robin check it out.
Passan's the coal miner, and he's the little Tweety Bird.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Robin's the one getting bit by the shark, and Batman's like, I got the shark repellent spray right here, dude. You're good.
So Jesse will venture on. Will you guys talk to him, or is that...
If there's breaking news, we'll throw him on,
What else do you guys have on the agenda for today?
Pucks, baby, pucks.
Yeah, I mean, come on. It's the unofficial pregame show. 5:45 puck drop. Game 4, Hawks, Oilers.
Puck Dalla has entered the building.
Blue line, Bleck. Come on, we're here. And think about it, guys. This could be like
you.
Like
you're
going to love that.
Puck Dalla and Blue line, Bleck.
Blue line, Bleck.
Yeah.
That's killing me. I got to make pee-pees now.
That before you head out to Algonquin.
Yeah, right. It's a long
ride,
drive.
Yeah.
Emily Kaplan at 4:35. We'll talk Blackhawks Oilers with us. We'll talk to Mark Giangreco at 5:35, and we'll talk with Jonathan Hood before the baseball show at 6. So we have a lot to do, and like I said, 5 o'clock, the unofficial Blackhawks pregame show will begin. Hawks, Oilers.
Hawks.
Game 4.
Shots.
Hawks with a chance to close it out. Sounds like a plan.
Hey, Yurk, this weekend, don't do anything I wouldn't do, all right?
Oh, I'm not going to.
Don't go to St. Louis.
Right. I'll be drinking bourbon.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, so Bleck and Abdallah are up next in for Waddle and Sylvie. I'm Jeff Meller filling in for Carmen DeFalco today for Yurko. That has been the Carmen and Yurko Show. Stick around, Bleck and Abdallah. Keep it rolling.
All right, boys.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Welcome in to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Bleck along with Adam Abdallah sitting in for the guys today. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah and at Chris Bleck. All calls welcome on the program, so you can call us at 312-332-3776. We'll preview the Blackhawks and the Oilers. Game 4 tonight, 5:45, is the puck drop for Game 4, and the Blackhawks have a chance to advance to the NHL playoffs after this qualifying round. Very exciting. We'll get to all that throughout the day. But clearly, the breaking news over the course of the afternoon, Cubs-Cardinals, the series opener, postponed tonight because of another positive coronavirus test. So Friday's series opener between the Cubs and the Cardinals has been postponed after St. Louis had a player test positive for COVID-19, according to Major League Baseball. The positive test marks the 8th Cardinals player to test positive for the coronavirus since last week. MLB said the postponed game will allow for additional testing and contact tracing. The Cardinals have not played since July 29th due to positive COVID-19 tests. So Cubs-Cardinals tonight off the schedule. They are set to play tomorrow and Sunday. Big series, rivalry series for the Cubs. They've gotten off to a great start, but they will not play tonight.
And I want to know, was this test administered today? Is this one of these, you know, because when a team, you know, like when the Marlins originally tested positive, they went to daily testing to see how it went and to see who was still positive and who, you know, ended up becoming negative, and so they could resume play as soon as possible. If this test took place 2 days ago, or they're testing every other day, or they're testing every couple days, what has the team been doing since? Are they still working out? Is this one of the players that was, obviously, is this a player that was negative before and was working out with other players from a couple days ago, and now you could see another outbreak with the Cardinals? And I said this earlier this week, when all of these positive tests started coming in for the Cardinals, just don't go. And Anthony Rizzo was on with Cap, and he said they were having conversations about it. You're in a time now where you've got teams that, I don't know how it came about that the Cardinals ended up getting it. You know, like everybody's saying, oh, well, they just let their guard down like the Marlins did. They just let their guard down. They went out for milk. You got to get your calcium.
You do know that the milk thing was never a thing.
I know, but it's still funny. It's still funny that he said a milk. He maybe said a milk for a while.
But
people
he
thought he said a milk.
But he never said a milk.
Okay, fine. They went to the grocery store. I don't care. The point is that...
What is this, a Clockwork Orange? He's going to the Kroger milk bar?
Maybe he wants a milk.
Okay, go ahead. Finish your statement.
So now you've got players, right? This is how this becomes a problem. The Cubs have been doing everything they can to take this as serious as possible. Everybody has said that the Cubs have been great about this. All the Cubs players said everybody's been great about this. They wear their masks in the clubhouse. If someone's not wearing a mask, they tell them to. They've gone up to the hotel roof to have like dinners together where everybody's 6 feet apart. and they haven't had a positive test yet. Now you go to St. Louis, and St. Louis has had a bunch of positive tests, and now they have another one today. And now you've got this team that is stuck in their hotel room, their hotel rooms, and at the hotel for an extra day, just sitting around. Guys get antsy. And I'm not saying that anybody's going to do anything. I'm not going to say that any Cub is going to go out and go to a bar or anything like that. But that's when stuff like that happens. When you go to a city and you're stuck in your hotel room, because what are they supposed to do? Are they going to go to the field and work out? No. Are they going to? They're just going to sit around in their hotel room. Maybe one of them wanders down to the hotel bar. That's how this stuff gets started. You can't have teams going to cities unless you know they're going to play. This goes back to the root of the problem that Major League Baseball won't do daily testing with instant results. And I understand if they do that, then they take away from the people that need daily testing, like the public, the general public that needs daily testing, that can't get daily testing. But you can't have teams going on road trips.
Is that really what Major League Baseball is doing? Is that they're taking tests from the public? I don't think that's what they're doing.
That's what they said that they wanted to do. That when Theo or Jed, it was one of them, met the media before the season started, and there was all these delays in testing. Remember when they were doing the ramp up?
Yeah.
They said that we do this testing and we send it to the lab because we don't want to take testing away from the general
that's
public.
That's why they have a private company doing it for
and
Major
they can't
League
do daily testing because of that. And if there is an outbreak,
so
and
they're
they
taking
need to
the daily tests from people just in society,
if they have to take daily tests, but here's the thing though, Chris, if someone becomes infected and they need a test, they just become part of the population that needs a daily test, right? Like if there is an outbreak on the Cubs and Anthony Rizzo needs a test because of contact tracing, he's part of the general public that would need a test. It's the same as if anybody else needed a test because of contact tracing, right? So if you become one of the people that needs a test, you become part of the general public. You're not taking away tests. You just need a test.
Let's go to Andy in New Lenox. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Andy?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. What do you think?
I'm fed up about all of this. Part of it is biased because I am a Cubs fan and I cannot stand the Cardinals. But if I was MLB, you're done. I mean, you didn't take it seriously. You had guys going out doing whatever they wanted to do, and now you're putting everyone else at risk. You're done. Pack your stuff, go home. Your season's over. We'll play with the rest of the teams in the league. It's just so irresponsible to me that you have a group of professional athletes. Like, if you take a look at, like, a Fortune 500 company, and, like, if you had all their employees not taking anything seriously, there'd be major ramifications. I don't understand. You tell the Cardinals, sorry, you go home, you're done for the year. We'll see you next year. It's absolutely ridiculous that this is still going on.
Yeah,
I'm furious about it. I can't believe it for one second. And MLB should tell them that they're done. Grab your stuff, go home. You're not playing anymore.
Thanks for the call. Sorry to cut you off, Andy. I kind of, like, here's the thing that Andy makes a great point about. Every business in society right now is trying to deal with this together. Like, we're all trying to figure out the best way to get through this pandemic, but then also getting back to normal business practices. So, like, people are staying at home. Some companies are no longer going to even have an office. They are deciding that their employees are just better off always being at home, thus then saving money on rent. So they don't have to have the space of an office to then have people come to. So there is all this different testing and protocols and precautions being put in place. And I feel as if Major League Baseball did its best to try and prepare teams. The Cardinals did not take it seriously. And that's why we are sitting here since the 29th of July, where the Cardinals have not played baseball. And they're not going to play baseball tonight. And there's probably a good chance they may not play baseball tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And Sunday is up in the air for the Cubs and the Cardinals, thus hurting the Cubs situation, because either you're in a spot where you're not feeling safe about your surroundings, and or you're removing games from their schedule, which, on the other hand, that I thought about from Andy's call is, how is Major League Baseball, how don't they have protocols in place to handle this situation? You see what I'm saying? Like, there are teams, look at the standings right now.
Mm-hmm.
The Miami Marlins are the number one team in the National League East at 6-1. The Braves are 9-5. Like, how is baseball, like, why don't we know how they're going to handle this? And I know you could probably respond with, well, we still have time for them to figure out.
Yeah, they sent out a schedule yesterday about how they're going to make up games.
Okay, But say the Cardinals now have more positive tests. Mm-hmm. Say if that's a thing this weekend. And now they're out for another week. What are you going to do with the Cardinals?
Well, I think you have to, if you want them to play, you have to test them now and get the and use the test where you get the instant results, where you get the results in an hour or in 15 minutes, whatever it is. You have to do that. And then the problem is, since this test was conducted probably a couple days ago and they just got the results back today, if the team was working out, whoever it is, because we don't know who it is yet, could have come in contact and could have spread to multiple different Cardinals, and they won't, because the incubation period is 2 weeks. You don't know about this. And if I'm the Cubs, I'm getting on however a plane and I'm going home. I'm saying, you know what? I'm not even dealing with this. We as a team vote not to play baseball. Deal with it. And what are you going to do? You're going to punish us because we don't feel comfortable playing a team? So you're going to shame us for not wanting to be a part of this? It's ridiculous.
312-332-3776. Cubs and Cardinals will be postponed tonight. Will the rest of the weekend be played? We'll talk baseball with you coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Black and Abdallah sing in. We go to Alex in Wheeling. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Alex?
Hey, how's it going, guys? How you doing?
All right. What do you think of the Cubs Cards being postponed tonight?
I'm actually okay with it. I'm okay if they postpone the whole series and just get the Cubs back into Chicago. I remember with the Marlins, they just caused a lot of problems for the other teams. And just from a pure Cubs standpoint, I think it's better if we don't get anybody contracting the virus from the Cardinals. Like, the last thing I think we want is to get some of the starting pitchers in trouble here, and then Chatwood or Darvish are out for 2 weeks. God forbid Hendricks gets it too, and then, you know, we're taking a mad hit at our depth right there too.
Yeah, it's a good point, because I think if you look at the rotational players, you know, the lineup, players on the field, you could assume that, okay, we saw Yoan Moncada come back, and he was, like, ready to play the moment he kind of came back with the White Sox. But a pitcher being on the shelf for 2 weeks then has to build back up. So I see what Alex is saying there. Let's go to Bob in Canaryville. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Bob?
What's up, guys? Yeah, I don't know. I think it was Adam who said that one of the reasons was they would have all that alone time in St. Louis. Well, it would be the same thing at home. I mean, I actually think they would be able to watch him better in a controlled environment like that, the hotel. When you're at home, you know, you might want to go out with your girlfriend or wife or kids, and there's more, you're going to want to go out no matter where you're at, is what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean?
No, that's a good point, Bob, but by all accounts, the Cubs have been home, you know, throughout the season so far. You know, they did travel to Cincinnati, and they did travel to Kansas City the last couple games, but ultimately, they've been home. They started the season against the Brewers. They were home against the Pirates and then Kansas City for two here, and they haven't had any positive tests. So being at home for them, working out in their own facilities where they know it's sanitized properly and everything like that at Wrigley Field, they can go into Wrigley Field, they can leave and go back to their houses. They're not in a hotel where hotel staff may bring it in and, you know, to their rooms if they're cleaning their rooms or room service or whatever it is. There's a lot more variables when you're on the road.
See, I disagree. I mean, I do. Because I just think if you're at a hotel on the road, if they're going to go by that logic, they should just cancel the whole series to play it safe. But, I mean, if you're at a hotel on the road, you could, it'd be sort of boring, but you could stay in the hotel like a bubble. But if you're at home, I mean, there's a lot of things you can do. I mean, they've been great so far. I got to give them credit. They have. But, I mean, there's a lot more tempting things at home, I think. That's just me.
Well, you know, and I agree with Bob because, like, say a player here in Chicago lives in a high-rise. There's no guarantee that the other tenants of the high-rise or the people who work in that high-rise are taking the same precautions that the baseball player is. So, like, I You guys are angling it towards like them doing something inappropriate or going out on the town. I'm just saying, like, you can catch us by someone riding the elevator with you, not wearing a mask.
No,
like, that's something that could happen where if you're all at the same hotel and it's all the same people and Major League Baseball has set this up, I think that they may be safer in that hotel setting than being off on their own at their different home situations.
I get that, but at the same time, St. Louis has had a bunch of positive tests. They're in St. Louis now.
They were in Milwaukee in the hotel before that. Well, so
expand. I mean, think about it, man. Expand your mind. Open that third eye. This is also,
what do you
know,
mean?
This
what
is
you, that saying, suggests there's a conspiracy.
They're in St. Louis. Maybe St. Louis is trying to, you know, get the Cubs out of it. This is the only time they go to St. Louis this year.
Yeah, I know.
So if they make these up, it's going to have to be at Wrigley.
That's fine. That favors the Cubs.
Absolutely. Cancel the series.
312-332-3776. Greg Braggs in St. John, Indiana. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Greg?
Greg, you got more bad takes like you did on Twitter this morning?
Whoa. What happened on Twitter?
The inmates running the asylum.
What up?
How you guys doing? I like to see you guys in this 2-6 slot. So,
hey, wait, what did you do this morning on Twitter that Abdallah's talking about? I'm unaware of this. Fill us in.
Well,
what happened?
I was joking with him that all I heard yesterday on the show, I was laughing. I'm laying my bricks, hearing him go on and on about it doesn't matter about criticizing Javi because they won the game.
Oh, I heard that too.
And I just thought that was funny that
it was nuts.
We do that with Javi, but we can't apply that to a one Mitchell Trubisky who has a 20-12 record as a starter.
Are you being serious?
Right?
Are you being serious?
He compared Javi Baez and Mitchell Trubisky.
Hold on, Greg. Hold on. I'm putting him on hold for a second. Hold on.
He didn't hang up on you, Greg.
You're still there.
He put you on hold.
Listen, we're talking baseball. You're bringing up Trubisky. I got to hit you with the Trubisky truther sound.
Comparing Trubisky to Javi Baez.
What are you doing, Brad?
That's why I called.
What are you doing?
You got me off track here.
All right. Get us back on track.
What did you call for?
Baseball.
Let's get back on track.
What did you call for? Be nice.
No. I'm asking him. That wasn't mean at all. I'm just saying, what did you call for?
All right. So what I'm trying to add to this discussion in an intelligent way, not bring up my unintelligent Trubisky takes. Now, listen. So my wife is a nurse, and one thing I think you guys aren't taking into consideration talking about how this St. Louis player got it is we have false positive and false negative tests occurring. I mean, look at the Marlins. They had false positive tests. And as I was saying, my wife, they had a situation where they had a hospital worker that was off for 2 weeks because she wasn't feeling good, but there was no test that confirmed she had COVID. And then 2 weeks later, it's like, all right, it's time to go back to work. You've been quarantined for 2 weeks. And she's like, I'm still not feeling good. Well, they tested her again because they're like, something's wrong here. If you're still not feeling good, obviously there's something wrong with you. So they test her again. Well, guess what? She had it the second time. So the tests, I think, are part of the problem here. When you're testing so much, you're going to have times where they're false positive or false negative. Then you're going to have one slip through the cracks. Like, maybe this is that situation, and then you're going to have stuff like this occur.
No, that's a good point. I'm with you on that.
Well, yeah, like it happened to Matthew Stafford later last week and into this week where he had the false positive, and people were coming up to his wife and his kids and harassing them because they knew it was a false positive, but the NFL wouldn't put it out there that it was a false positive yet.
That's the problem with when they say testing, when you start testing so much, which you should, you're going to have this kind of problem. And this is just such a tough situation to deal with. I don't begrudge anyone that has to deal with it at any level. Sports are bigger than that, schools and everything else. So you guys have a good day. Forget the Trubisky take. We'll talk about that later.
Thank you, Greg. You got him with the Trubisky truth or sound effect. Sorry.
I love Greg. I love interacting with Greg. But
he really compared Javi Baez to Mitchell Trubisky?
Yeah, you can't compare and go to Mitch and be like, Mitch, you made one mistake. You threw one bad interception, and we're lucky it didn't cost us the game. Whereas you've got Javi, who is an MVP candidate, and so what? He didn't run. Big deal.
I mean, I was listening to you guys yesterday.
Yeah.
Your nonsense about Baez was just ridiculous.
What? He didn't do
Waddle
anything wrong.
And Sylvie were right to go after you. The callers were right.
So now we got to go after every grown-ass man on a baseball team because he thinks a ball's foul and he doesn't run?
No, because this is the deal. You were doing a bit.
No.
You were just being Abdallah. Here I am. Here's my little bit.
Why? So now David Ross has got to go up to be like, Javi, you did something wrong. You need to run faster. Who cares?
It's not the first time.
He's a grown-ass man. So what?
Yes, he is. I agree.
Okay.
So but but your defense of Baez was ridiculous.
You don't think that if he thought that ball was going fair, he wouldn't have ran his ass off and had a double and probably did some cool slide? Come on. You know Javi. I know Javi. Javi doesn't play like that.
Elmhurst, Steve, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, I got a solution to this problem. And what I would do is you've got a five-day incubation period is what they say. So in order to know that the guys that you're going to send out there on the field have not been in contact with somebody who's infected and are not definitely carrying this, you got to wait 5 days so everybody's got to test negative. So in that interim time, instead of saying, okay, we're just going to postpone all these games and everything, you say, all right, you know what? Once you've had a second time where somebody is tested positive and you're going to have to postpone games, instead of postponing games, you're going to have to play these games with your alternative players down in the minor league area that is separate from your major league players, because we know if those guys have all tested negative, we don't have to worry about any infections or anything like that. And yes, this is punitive. You are probably going to get your butts whipped because you're going to be playing with inferior players, but this is the second time, not the first time. So now you are going to have a punishment in effect, and you're just going to have to play with these lesser players for 5 days until all your other players test negative for 5 days, and then those guys are eligible to go back to the major league team.
Smart call, Steve, because what was the point of the taxi squad? If they're just pushing off games for weeks on end for the Marlins, for the Cardinals, for the Phillies, you know, like, what was the point of the taxi squad? I thought the whole point was if there were guys in question, contact tracing, positive tests, who can't play, you then use the individuals on the taxi squad.
Because,
like, why is it just shutting? Why have the Cardinals been shut down since the 29th of July?
Baseball didn't, or refused, or just maybe they just didn't read stuff. That's not how this virus works. The virus isn't just like, oh, one guy's got it. Okay, he's out. No, it's if that guy has it, you have to go back and do contact tracing of everybody that guy came in contact with. And everybody that guy came in contact with may not show symptoms for up to 4 to 5 days.
No, those people have to be quarantined too.
Okay, but then you're basically quarantining a whole team. You can't have a whole team that's a taxi squad.
Like Steve said, that's the penalty. Unfortunately, that's the penalty. That's what we're dealing with. Well, squad has to play.
What you're going to have to start dealing with and what probably going to end up happening, and I heard this, I believe Jason Fitz was talking about this earlier, it was yesterday morning. You're just going to have forfeitures. You're going to have teams that just go, you know what? Sorry, we're not going to be able to make it up. We're taking the L.
Would you rather take the L or try and win a game with the taxi squad?
I mean, you'd probably try.
Here's what doesn't
but you're not. You might not have enough guys to have a full team.
So here's the flaw. Shouldn't the taxi squad shouldn't have been enough guys to play a game?
Yes.
So then they just play that game?
The taxi squad should have been a whole other roster.
Right. So then, they may not be good, but they play the game. That's what I don't understand about this. Like, you have some guys hanging around at different ball fields waiting, but then they never get called up because you can't figure out who has it, who's quarantined, what's going on, so you just delay all the games? To me, it's a bit nonsense. In the Twitch feed on ESPN 1000 Chicago, many are pointing out that you are just being a troll with your Baez take.
I'm sorry that I believe that if Javi thought the ball was going foul or fair, he would have ran. And you guys want to hate on Javi. That's fine. You guys hate on Javi. He's one of the best, if not the best, player in Chicago. So deal with it.
You're being a bit of a troll, though, right?
Who am I trolling? If you're being a troll, you have to be trolling someone. Who am I trolling by saying that if Javi thought that the ball was going fair, he would have ran and done some super cool slide into second base for a double? Or maybe even he would have had a triple. He probably would have had a triple. Probably.
So yeah, you were trolling?
I'm not trolling for anything. You're trolling.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by Manscaped. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job. Get 20% off and free shipping with discount code Chicago.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Continue taking your baseball calls here on Waddle and Sylvie. Chris Black and Adam Abdallah sitting in for the guys today till 6 o'clock, and then you'll hear the baseball show right here on ESPN 1000, walking you into coverage of the White Sox and the Indians. You can hear the game right here on ESPN 1000 at 6:35. The Blackhawks and the Oilers will drop the puck at 5:45 tonight. At 5 o'clock, we're going to have an unofficial Blackhawk pregame show here on the station. We'll talk to Gene Greco at 5:35. We'll get you ready for the Blackhawks and the Oilers. And I'm excited about this game, Abdallah, because watching Game 3 and the comeback from the Blackhawks, it felt like we were back in time. It's been 4 years since this team has been a legitimate title-chasing team. You know, you get two seasons where you get bounced in the first round. You have two seasons where you don't even make the playoffs. This season, the Blackhawks weren't even looking like a qualifying team for the playoffs. So, like, it's nice to get back to series that matter. And tonight, a clinching game that matters for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Game 1 looks like vintage Blackhawks. Like, that looks like that old, the first couple teams that won. That when you get off to that hot start, everything is clicking. You're skating faster than the other team. You just look more technically sound. Then that second game looked like how the Blackhawks have looked all year so far, and they're lucky to be in this position in the playoffs. And then that third game, you kind of saw the great Kirby Dach had a great game. You kind of saw that determination of the veterans saying, we're not going to be out of this. They had a lot more opportunities than goals scored. I mean, how many posts did they hit in that game? 4 or 5 in game 3? So as long as you capitalize off your power play in this game, which you were unable to do in the last game, you know, this, I don't want to go in an elimination, you know, into a game 5 and a back-to-back with Edmonton, who has the two best players in hockey right now if you go by points. I don't want to do that. I would much rather win today, obviously. And if I'm the Blackhawks, you just got to be like you were in games 1 and 3. You got to shoot. They had more shots in game 1 when they won. They outshot them 42-29 in game 1. They actually had less shots than the Oilers did in game 3 and still managed to come away with a win. But you just have to keep peppering this goal. You have to keep shooting. You have to keep going after guys. You have to keep skating fast, because the last thing you want to do is go to a game tomorrow.
You know, watching this team play in game 1, this was the vibe I felt. You ever roll up to the YMCA or wherever you play hoops or pickup or whatever you do, and there's like a group of really old dudes, but they like won the state title like 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. And like for one day they run the court, and like, and you can like see it and you're like, man, they're really good. But like we're going to get them eventually. Mm-hmm. And like, that's what I felt like game 1 was. And then game 2 was like the correction to that, right? Like usually those guys who are running it in open gym, who used to be great at basketball, like by game 2 and 3, it's like, okay, here we go. Like the young guys, fresh legs, we're more athletic, we can get it done, right? And then I think the thing that is so impressive about what has taken place in this qualifying series is that I feel like game 3 was completely unexpected. Not only were you down, and Connor McDavid was fantastic, but then you bounce back. And like that was something there that we haven't seen since the Hawks were winning cups.
Well, which
right?
team?
Like that bounce back. Because like the analogy of the old guys showing up at the YMCA and running for a few hours where they're the best team on the court, that idea was like, to me, that's out the window the moment they bounce back, right? Maybe they are here to do a little bit more than we expect them to.
Was the team that won game 3 more like the team from game 1 or game 2? And what I mean is, if they would have gone to overtime, they got such a late goal in game 3 to win that. If they were to go to overtime, was it just inevitable that Connor McDavid was going to do something, that the Oilers were just going to be the better team like they were for the majority of the game, where they were just going to win that game eventually? Was that a lucky goal towards the end? And that, and the, this Blackhawks team, now they skated better, obviously, than they did in Game 2. They played better than they did in Game 2. But is the team that won Game 3 closer to the team that was in Game 1 or Game 2? We're obviously going to find out tonight, but I think that that goal, that kind of a crushing loss, can lift up a team and completely demoralize another team.
Right, because if you remove in Game 2, the third period, and you remove in Game 1, the first period for the Blackhawks, this is an even series.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of Game 2, the Oilers were the better team. Mm-hmm. Right? They win the game 6-3. In Game 1, it's completely shocking the way the Hawks came out on all cylinders firing. But again, it goes back to, yeah, they've kind of done this before, and this is like a completely strange tournament situation, prep for a series like this. The old guys who used to win championships roll up to the Y, and all of a sudden they're hitting every shot. Mm-hmm. And it's like, whoa. But then, like, since that first period, this has been an even series, and it's been a lot of fun to watch. So we'll continue talking Blackhawks and the Oilers game 4 tonight at 5:45. We'll walk you into that coverage here on ESPN 1000. We'll get you set for the Blackhawks game, but also we'll talk baseball with you. More of your calls. The Cubs and the Cardinals, they are postponed for tonight. Your thoughts coming up in 2 minutes.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.